Hey folks, this is Ryan with From Corners Unknown. I hope you're doing well. I just recently wrapped up an interview with Joe of Noctilicant, who's based in the Milwaukee, Wisconsin area. He's a dark ambient composer, and he's got a couple new records coming out. The first is an original soundtrack for a kickstarted comic book titled Dissension, and another record is titled Bleak and Drained of Color, which is a continuation of the post-apocalyptic world he's been building over the last couple years. You'll notice throughout the conversation, there are a couple or a handful of dark ambient tracks kind of lulling behind our words. And this is kind of an experimental approach to see if it engages you a bit more when listening to our conversation, as opposed to there just being total silence. So let me know what you think of the conversation. Thanks.
This is Joe from Noctilicant.
Oh, that's how you say Noctilicant. I always said it Noctilicant. It's...
Oh. Yeah, it's kind of open. Yeah, I mean, it's a made-up word, so I guess it can, you know, kind of be like however people want
yeah,
to pronounce
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So,
You know, it's kind of a variation of the word Noctilucent.
Yes, yes.
Which some people think it's just a deliberate misspelling of that, but when I actually created the project, I didn't know that word even existed.
Oh, really? Yeah, yeah, because when I wrote that one review a while back, I kind of took your name and I took it as like a Noctilucent cloud, like kind of those clouds that hang over the Arctic Circle or whatever it is.
Right, yeah.
But
yeah, then I found out like after I created my project that it was like three bands named Noctilucent, so I was like, shit. I think like some people actually messaged me on Facebook once or before, like saying like, oh dude, I saw you play live the other day, and I was like, the fuck are you talking about? I've never played live before.
Well, that's actually I'm curious about that. So you have your couple new records coming out here in a bit, or at least you finish your soundtrack, and then you have Bleak and Drained of Color coming up. Have you I know in our previous interview you said you, or at least I think it was in the interview you did with Screenslaver Edward, I think you said you weren't going to take your project live, but have your sentiments changed on that at all, or are you still going to keep it just a studio project?
The big thing is, like, I would probably have to write material that would be exclusively for performing live, because there's so much, like, put into each song, so many layers and everything, that to recreate it live, I think, like, 90% of it would have to be played off of a laptop or a backup track, whatever, and then, you know, there'd be the little bit that I would actually be able to play. I'd probably still have to have, like, two synthesizers to make it happen and some other, you know, percussion instrument or something like that, you know, and
sure.
I've personally never played live with, you know, any band before, and I have like a horrible stage fright thing. I think in one hand it could be, you know, what's the word I'm looking for, like therapeutic to get over it a little bit, maybe, and you know, I'm just this anxiety in general, maybe it would help, but at the same time I don't know.
This is technically like your first project, like musical project as well, correct?
Right, yeah.
Okay. I mean, yeah, have you ever, yeah, I guess, have you, so you haven't considered though, like, taking, I mean, would you ever like consider taking a couple people live with you as well? Would that kind of, you know, make you...
That was actually a friend of mine. He had sort of, when I first started the project, he kind of threw that idea at me. Jeremiah from the Hollow Hecatomb.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We split with. He was, when I first started, he was very supportive and, you know, showed a lot of interest. And he was like, yeah, man, we should, you know, like do some sort of like dual, you know...
That'd be awesome.
He's really big into the noise scene and stuff like that. So he was like, we should do like some dual noise and dark ambient set, and like I was like, well, maybe, and then I think maybe if I did go on stage with another person, I'd be I would be a little, you know.
You feel less, a little more comfortable, or at least a little.
Right.
You know, yeah. Is there? I'm curious. So, just like in a general sense, is there? You're in Milwaukee, correct?
Yeah.
Is there like a scene for that kind of stuff around there? The noise and the dark ambient.
The noise stuff seems to be pretty popular around here. There's a lot of acts around here that do that kind of stuff, and they have shows fairly regularly.
Okay.
I mean. Yeah, it seems like there's at least once a month or so there's some show going on, and I've gone to some of those shows, and they're interesting, to say the least. I mean,
I'm curious about the, so you have two upcoming releases, I guess. The mm-hmm. is Dissension isn't out yet, correct?
Yeah, the comic book's still in the process of being released, or finished.
Okay.
And I don't actually know when it's coming out. I'm hoping within the coming weeks.
Okay.
I was originally under the impression that it was going to be finished like last weekend when I believe everyone got mailed the...
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was coming out that weekend, but I guess I misunderstood something.
Yeah, I think they just said it was kind of mid-November, and we're kind of on the other side of the middle of November now, so I'm not too sure. But how could you describe that project a bit? Was that like, you know, just kind of how you got involved in it and the writing process behind it and all that?
Yeah. So basically John, the writer, he, found my music on YouTube and he reached out to me and, we pretty much just had a chat one afternoon and he told me all the details and I was like, yeah, absolutely, man. Sounds great. 'Cause you know, it's been a dream of mine, you know, long before I started this project, that I always wanted to do a, you know, a soundtrack or a score for a film or a video game or something.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, this is a start, you know, this is perfect, you know, and
sure.
As for the process of like writing everything, it was basically he sent me the script and he's kind of broke each, well, there's like kind of several scenes in each song, I guess you could say.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if you listen to tracks, you can hear the progression, but something new in each one, obviously.
Yeah, I was actually going to touch on that in a bit, because I did draw, when I was listening to that versus Bleak and Drained of Color, I was like, oh, these actually feel kind of similar in the way that you kind of, it almost sounds like you made one gigantic track, and then you just kind of found, like, a nice, even way to, like, split them up into different scenes.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, and how was the... You did the Dissension soundtrack after Bleak and Drained of Color, correct?
Yeah, Bleak was pretty much finished back in, oh, I would say February.
Oh, shoot. Okay, so that was a little bit ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
Huh. Yeah, I didn't, when I first finished it, well, I finished the music part of it, and then Matthew sent me his voice acting parts, and I fit those in there, and then I didn't really know what the heck I wanted to do with it, because it's only like a little over 40 minutes, so I was like, well, is this going to be a long single, or is this going to be the next album?
Yeah.
And then I just kind of sat on it, and then in July or so, I got in contact with the guy from this Noctivagant Records, and I reached out to him. I said, well, you know, if you like this, would you be interested in releasing it? And, you know, a week or so passed, and he said, yeah, absolutely, I would.
How was it, you remarked, kind of... that was an observation I made too, how Bleak is pretty darn short relative to at least your, what I would call kind of, and this, correct me if I'm wrong, you had two previous records. You had Back to the Mud and Oblivion to You All, and those, to me, it seems like Bleak is kind of in like that trifecta, or it's kind of that world building, those world building records. I don't know if that's the correct way to think about it. But how was it writing Bleak compared to the other ones? Because it is comparatively shorter. But
right,
it's very seamless. I mean, I really love how it just kind of flows from beginning to end.
Yeah, it was originally wrote as basically one long song, and then it got broken to parts.
I see.
Because I sort of originally intended that to be the third lengthy single in my single series. And then kind of right around the time when I was writing... was in the process of writing Bleak, I wrote the There's Blood on Our Hands track. Like, that just kind of came out of, like, it just kind of, like, I sat down one weekend and just, I nailed it in, like, a single weekend. I was like, wow, this is good. I like it. I just want to release it. It's good.
Awesome. You know? Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it was just, like, 10 hours, like, you know, between, like, a Saturday and Sunday, just 10 hours going at it. And I was like, all right, I like this. It's good.
So how does the, I wish I knew more about kind of the writing process for dark ambient related stuff, but how do you usually go about, you know, writing, or, cause you just said you like cracked out like that 30 minute single, in a weekend. So how, like, do you have to be in a certain mindset, or like, do you have to have a certain, like how do you go about just, you know, say cracking out one 30 minute track versus, you know, working on Bleak, which is, you know, 40 minutes. And I'm guessing that took more than a weekend to
put together. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
So,
I think I have to be, you know, pretty well awake to do music.
Sure.
Cause I've tried doing music at, like, after work in the evenings, and it's hopeless. It doesn't work out. I'll just be sitting there just bumbling around. Nothing will sound good. I'll get mad and just walk away after a while.
Sure.
So it's usually a weekend thing to work on music.
Okay.
Oftentimes if my girlfriend's not around, I'll just, you know, slam a cup of coffee right away in the morning, just start going at it. And, you know, usually I like to listen to some of my favorite artists to kind of get the creative juices flowing too, and give me some ideas,
sure,
you know.
So, who are some of they?
Well, the project that, like, initially, like, I guess you could say, like, convinced me to finally do this kind of music was Sabled Sun.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a project of Simon Heath,
yep,
who also has the project Iterium Carcere, which is a long-running dark ambient project. He started that one in, I think, 99 or 2000.
Oh, it's that old? Dang, I've been listening to some of his recent output under the Iterium stuff. And I didn't know it went back that far, actually.
Right, yeah. He was originally with the Cold Meat Industry label back. I think the first CD came out in, well, maybe it was early 2000.
Still, that's a good run he's got.
And Simon's also the guy behind the Cryo Chamber label.
Yep. Their label is actually the next city over to where I live. I'm in Springfield.
Oh, really?
He's in Eugene now. Yeah. So he's just, you know, I don't know, you know, where he lives, but he's, you know,
right,
I could probably, if I were to go see him or say hey to him or something, it would probably be like a 20 minute drive.
Or something someday or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. So how was the, so how was it like writing Bleak and Drained of Color, and like, how did you, you know, recruiting Matthew? Cause he's a Scottish voice actor. Is it correct to call him a voice actor? Is that his,
I think he's more of a general stage actor, to be honest with you.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh?
Cause he has this like sort of stage play he does called the Jacobite. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right.
Oh, the
Jacobite officer.
Okay.
And it's some sort of historical Scottish thing. I unfortunately still haven't looked up what exactly it is, but I guess I should. But some play stage show he thing he does. I don't know if he has, you know, if he has years of doing this kind of stuff or what, but I know this thing's relatively new.
I see.
And so he's doing that. It's a stage show. He originally, when he first reached out to me, he wanted to use my song Befalling Silence, I think, as part of like the intro to the show or something like that.
And is that on your first Back to the Mud?
That's the very first song on Back to the Mud.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Huh.
And I'm not actually sure if he did use the song live or not.
Sure.
I just said, yeah, that's cool. I mean, people are going to hear my music, so that's fine.
Yeah, of course.
So, I don't know if that actually happened, but, and then after that, you know, he kind of, you know, was like, well, you know, I see that you have like voice actors in your music, and if you ever need someone, you know, I would definitely be interested.
Oh, awesome.
And that was probably back in like, I don't know, like this September of 2016 when he first reached out to me.
Okay, yeah, so that's been a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, so then, you know, pretty much after that that song was, you know, nearing completion, I, you know, asked him like, you want to do this? And he was like, yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome. So, and I absolutely love the emphasis
he, you know, just the way he articulates, and he really like brings the new songs, like he kind of just, it like transcends like the dark ambient sound in some strange way. I can't describe it. It's just, yeah, it's, I get chills just thinking about how good it is. You know,
thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Here's a small sample of Matthew on Bleak and Drained of Color.
A tattoo once spoke your name. Has all but faded to a smear of blue. That misty blue haze that I looked through to remember. A life all but forgotten. From long ago that I did. Like when I smashed his skull against the tiles.
But how, so he reached out to you, and then did you write the dialogue or kind of the narrative for him, or did he come up with some of that?
The narrative was originally taken from this short story I had started writing about, oh, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago.
Okay.
It was basically like this zombie apocalypse short story. I got like maybe, I don't know, 6-7 pages done, and then it just kind of, it got pushed off to the side and I forgot about it.
I see.
And I think my original intention was that I was going to finish the story and then I was going to make a soundtrack to it, and then just, you know, it'd be like a PDF download with the soundtrack or something like that. So you'd like read the story with the song or whatever.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Yeah.
It seemed interesting to just kind of take a few fragments of the story and just, you know, turn it into this, you know, this narrative thing for someone to speak. And
sure.
Matthew actually rewrote the words a bit. I sent him the basic idea and he rewrote it, made it sound a lot better. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
So he's a talented guy. He can voice act, he can act, he's a writer. I think he also plays bass guitar in some band or bands maybe.
Oh really? Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. It sounds like a pretty cool dude actually.
Yeah, and I mean he's like, you know, he's, I was surprised that he was into my music, cuz like, I mean, I guess he shouldn't judge a book by a cover or whatever, but sure. He doesn't look like the type of dude that would be really into dark stuff. Cause like,
yeah.
And he's like an older guy, and he's like got to be in his early 50s or late 40s.
Oh,
and
wow.
He's got a family and, you know, and everything. So it's not really, I don't know.
Huh.
But I guess he was just into the idea of doing a dark story, you know, just something like that, you know?
So. Yeah, yeah. No, when I was listening to it, I was just, frankly, I was hoping that it would just continue going and going just for, you know, hours and hours. Cause I just, yeah, awesome. The story, like you gave just enough detail to make it like, it was very compelling, but then, you know, I was just like, oh, it's, you know, just ends. I'm like, God, I just wish there was, you know, it would just continue to go on. But, so is this story, are you, I'm trying to find the right way to word this. So, I know you have this record and then the previous two, and correct me if I'm wrong again, but you have like, they're kind of like the world, like you're kind of like your, the world builder albums, or like you're kind of creating a universe.
Yeah. Well, Back to the Mud was sort of like events leading up to like this apocalyptic situation, basically.
Okay.
Like if you listen to the song, like the Deep Dead Hour, for example, it's like where the soldier, you know, he's in the helicopter looking for people, and he, you know, hears his comrade get attacked and everything, you know, it's just all these events leading up to this, you know, everything going to shit, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically. And then Oblivion Do All is several months into the apocalypse or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Post-world, you know, situation, you know, and that's where, like, things are just fucked, you know.
Sure, so, sure.
Yeah.
And then where does Bleak stand in this?
Bleak is different because it's like, it's just this lone single character who's, I mean, this isn't really mentioned in the song, but it's just, you know, my what I wanted to be was it's just a single character in like his fallout shelter, bunker, whatever.
I see.
You know.
I see. But that's kind of, I mean, that's one of the compelling aspects of your music is that you can, I mean, you give listeners enough detail, like you give them enough details to kind of, you know, you give them like a bare, like kind of like a skeleton of like a story, but then yeah. you kind of let them, like let their imagination fill in the
yeah,
rest
absolutely.
Of the world, right? And is that...
I don't want to give it all away because, you know, yeah. originally when we first started working on the narrative for Bleak, it was going to be like a lot more dialogue. Like,
oh, really?
I had like several paragraphs of like the story. And
wow.
then I was just like, you know what? Let's keep it brief, you know?
Sure.
So, and one of the reasons for that is just because if you put too much dialogue, it turns into like... more of like an audiobook or something.
Yeah.
Than, you know?
Yeah.
I want it to still be music.
Right, right.
I want people to put it on, listen to music, you know?
Right. That makes
and,
sense.
And the other reason is because in the past, and I don't really care about this, but just in the past, some people had complained to me basically saying like, this song would have been great, but you put these vocals in here, or you put these spoken words in here, and I mean, whatever. I don't care if people hate a song because of that. That's stupid to me, but
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
No, that's good that you don't let...
That's how some people are. They just want it to be pure, dark, ambient music or whatever, instrumental music, you know.
But people have really, like, reached out or emailed you and they've, like, complained about your music like that. Like, they said, oh, it would have been better if you just didn't have a vocal track in it.
I don't think anyone's really ever emailed me, but I have, like, all my music on YouTube and some people have also put my music on YouTube and,
oh.
you know... YouTube's everyone's a critic on YouTube, so you know everyone can put their comments on. And there's one video in particular. This I guess they're like a promotional service or whatever. They reached out to me. They put a Back to the Mud on their channel. And
oh, nice.
For some reason, the video just blew up. This video has like 300,000 views on.
Are you serious?
Back to the Mud.
Oh,
oh
my
yeah,
god!
It's insane.
Holy
yeah.
crap! That's amazing.
And there's like 300 comments on it. And,
Jesus, for that whole record, is it just one song?
It's the whole record, yeah.
Wow, that's
and
awesome.
The title of the video is something like, the most scariest, dark, ambient music ever by Knock the Lucan or something. Some ridiculous title like that. So I think there's like all these key words in there that just when people would search it, it just happened to pop up.
Some clickbaity like kind of crap. They're just like...
Right.
Yeah.
They probably put all the tags in there. They probably put like Halloween or scary or... soundtrack music
yeah,
or whatever
yeah.
so it just pops up when people would search it or whatever.
Sure.
But yeah, this video, there's a lot of people that are like, you know, some people are like, this is amazing, this is great music. Then some people are like, well, this is just basically, you know, a ripoff of Cold Meat Industry stuff and Cryo Chamber. It's just fucking mediocre, mega shit and whatever. And I'm like,
God.
You know, like, yeah, some people can be really cruel, you know. It's like,
yeah.
and I'm not really affected by that. I don't, because I'm happy with the music.
Yeah.
That's the main thing. You
yeah,
know
of
what
course.
I mean? I'm at the end of the day, it's for me, you know?
Yeah.
It's amazing, and I'm so incredibly grateful that, you know, people like you like my music,
of
and,
course.
You know, but, you know, it's like, I think a lot of musicians, they do it for themselves. You know
I see.
I mean?
That's
it's,
interesting.
It's art, you know? It's,
yeah.
it's no different than, you know, it's no different than a painter doing a painting, you know? You know
sure.
what I mean?
Yeah,
like a painter, they do it because they love art. They love painting, you know, and I love doing this kind of stuff. You know?
Yeah.
So,
and you,
go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, you also, I mean, just on the topic of painter, you also do some painting yourself, right?
Right. Yeah, that's kind of been on the back burner, but yeah, I mean, I did the cover for like Neath the Cerulean Abyss was a painting, and Buried Alive in Mud. Those two singles were both paintings, and oh yeah, then that There's Blood on Her Hands with a painting too. Yeah,
I see. So I'm curious about, and I may mess up the wording of this, but so like when did you establish the project? How long ago was that?
Basically like July of 2015, pretty much. Yeah.
Man, that's it. It's been wow. You put out quite a bit of music since then.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like I've listened to your music for years, like more than that amount of time. But I'm curious, like, so from the time you established the project to say now, or you know, up to like when you were producing Bleak, Kind of like, how have your perceptions of the project changed, or your sentiments? Like, when you first established yourself, you know, how have your goals and, like, your perceptions of the project changed over time? Like, are you at a place now, like, it, did you see yourself getting to where you are now? Or, like, how, I mean, just how does it compare over the years you've been going at it?
Right. So, when I first started, I didn't really have any expectations. Like, I didn't know if people would dig it, you know?
Sure.
Like, when I got done writing Back to the Mud, I was like, this is pretty good. This is a really good record. Like,
yeah.
And I didn't expect it, but, like, a lot of people were really into it, you know? Mm-hmm. And my only real regret with that album is that I didn't send it to the label. I wish I would have sent it to, like, Cryo Chamber or something like that, because I think maybe they would have released it.
Sure.
I don't know. But, you know, I did the self-release, you know, and I just wanted to do a CD. I wanted to make sure it was, you know, in a physical format, because that was just one of my those little dreams was to be, you know, do a music project, release a CD, and I did it. So that was, you know, that was the first accomplishment right there.
Yeah.
You know? So I was, you know, and then after that was released and it got, you know, some pretty favorable reviews and everything.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, a lot of people that wrote about the first album, they said, like, you know, this guy's onto something good, and I'm excited to hear more. You know, that I was like, all right, you know, yeah. I'm gonna bring it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, and then almost immediately after that, I started writing Oblivion.
Nice.
And, you know, Oblivion took, well, let's see, I released Back to the Mud in September of 2015. So,
mm-hmm.
And Oblivion came on 2000, like July of 2016. So it was by like the 1 year mark, I'd already released two full albums.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And the only reason why Back to the Mud happened so quickly was because I was unemployed at the time, and
oh.
I was pretty depressed about that. And I would just, you know, I'd kiss my girlfriend goodbye every morning when she went to work, and I would just go straight to music. That was like my thing to keep my spirits up and everything.
Sure.
You know? So, yeah.
Sure. Yeah. And is it fair to say it's like just the writing process for you in general, is it like a pretty therapeutic or cathartic thing? I know you said like it can be frustrating or it can be difficult to write some days depending on the time and all that, but in general, like what does it, is it pretty helpful? Like,
I think so. Yeah. Cause I mean, it's just, you know, I have this like artistic thing inside me, this creative side that I have to get out, you know?
Sure.
So, doing this, you know, it's just, it's an outlet for that, you know, because if I didn't do this, I've had all kinds of, you know, creative projects over the years, you know, I've done like, you know, I've tried to do like a graphic design service. I did my photography thing for a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so it's always been something, but this was the only thing I did writing. I've tried writing stories and that, you know, that didn't work out, you know, all this kind of stuff,
sure.
You know, and this is the first, where I, you know, when I did this, I really felt like this is something that's going to go for a long time. I'm very passionate about it. It's not just going to, another year from now or something, I'm not just going to be like, eh.
Yeah,
just,
yeah. Of course. You know? Of course.
Want to keep going, you know? And
yeah.
I mean, we'll see where it goes. I mean, this, with the Dissension soundtrack, you know, coming out, maybe, you know, other, you know, film students or something will hear it and want to work with me for a soundtrack, you know? So.
No, totally. So, yeah, and that's, so I'm curious too about that. So when you said, like, you did Dissension, and so you did Dissension after, I guess, well, first off, how was it writing the soundtrack for Dissension? Because that, it sounds, I mean, that sounds pretty, I don't want to say, well, maybe difficult's the right word, but it's, you're trying to make a soundtrack, not for, you know, I mean, you're making it for like physical media. You're making it for a comic book of some sort. So how does that contrast with how you generally write your other compositions or your records?
Yeah. I mean, it was really different because it was the first time, you know, having like the whole, you know, the concept of the record in front of me. Before, it was just pulled from my mind kind of bit by bit,
yeah.
You know, like when I wrote the previous two albums, it was just, it came in bits and pieces over the months. Like, I don't have like a sketchbook with like a flow chart or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's nothing like that. It just, it comes,
sure.
it little by little. So this was a lot different doing it this way, you know. And during the whole process, it was very stressful at times. I had, a lot of anxiety about it, especially leading up to the deadline and everything. But I'm really happy with it, you know.
Yeah.
I think it turned out pretty good. And,
yeah,
you know, for something I wrote in, like 2.5-3 months on, I think it's a pretty solid release.
So you did work on it for that long? Like that was, it was like a 2.5.
I think it was late August when John first contacted me. Yeah.
Okay. And you were working on it for the duration of the projects. Like, cause I know you, the project kind of, you got a little close to the end there and I was like, oh crap, I hope this goes through. Like I hope it gets backed. And then at the last second, somebody kicked it a bunch of money in it.
Right. Yeah. That was sort of like, I didn't know what was going to happen at first because I was like, well, I'm usually not this lucky, so it probably won't get back. You know, I was like, no way these guys are going to raise like the whatever, $500 or whatever it was. I was like, it's a great thought, but I didn't think it was going to actually happen. And then it happened and they got actually a couple $100 over there. I think they got like $2,700 altogether or something.
Yeah.
But I think the main reason why that happened was because the artist, Lee Milowski, he's had a few successful campaigns on Kickstarter before, and a lot of people really appreciate his artwork and everything. So,
sure.
And I mean, these are probably like comic book nerds we're dealing with here mostly, you know, so they can get pretty passionate about that stuff.
Of course.
You guys will pay huge amounts for books and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
I think a lot of it them, you know. I don't know if anyone that, you know, other than you that really backed it really knew who I was or whatever, but you know, maybe there was, I don't know. I mean, I posted it on my Facebook page enough where I figured maybe some people would have, you know, backed it. If they did, that's awesome. If they didn't, well,
yeah, okay. no totally. And yeah, so yeah, I guess and are they, is that project, I was under the impression based on reading the Kickstarter thing, and I could be totally wrong, but are they hoping to do more than just what they're releasing, you know, in the next couple weeks or whenever they release it? Is there going to be more? Are they hoping to do more with this?
That's actually a good question. I'm kind of thin on the details myself, but I think there's gonna, like, it's, I know it said it was like part one of three or something.
Yeah. And I was just like, yeah, because I saw that, and then I saw the length of the soundtrack you produced. I was like, damn, this is a long, I mean, this is like a meaty,
it's like
soundtrack.
Over 15 minutes long.
Yeah. So I was just like,
this book that's coming out is only like, I think 25, 30 pages long. So
I mean, that's,
I don't
a
know
decent
if you
length.
Need 50 minutes to read it or not, but
yeah, but I was thinking, I'm like, well, if you want to listen to the whole thing, the comic book must be pretty dang long if you want to be able to read it. And but I guess it's kind of for the immersiveness more so than the length. How did you think about writing that? Because when I listened to that soundtrack relative to Bleak, it kind of seemed to follow a similar, you know, a similar layout. It almost is like you wrote a full 50-minute song, you're like, okay, I'm just going to start slicing it and just kind of fade the tracks in and out a little bit.
Yeah, that was actually, that was John's idea. He wanted it to kind of be like one song bleed into the other, basically.
Okay.
I don't know if it was something he wanted to, like, you know, mimic from another soundtrack or what it was exactly, but that was his idea, yeah.
And is
otherwise...
Yeah, sorry, go ahead. No, go ahead, please.
Otherwise, if he hadn't like given me those specific instructions, I probably would have done it differently. I probably would have done, you know, shorter tracks. It probably would have been like a 14 tracks album then or something rather than six. You know, I don't know, but
yeah, and is it?
That's how he wanted it. So
no, that sounds good. And is it? I mean, did each track or each portion that you wrote, does it correspond to certain events in...
I mean, basically like with the soundtrack, whenever you kind of hear a change in the music, that's kind of, you know, a indication that the scene is changing.
Yeah.
You know,
sure.
And some of the songs, like I'm thinking like the fourth one, like there's like four or five individual scenes in there or something like that.
Oh,
you know, so
okay,
this is just the way, this is just John broke it up into like the whole thing into like, you know, basically five scenes, because the first song is just like the intro track or whatever. not really meant to be like part of the story.
Yeah.
So basically when you play the second track, that's like where you would start with page one. Or
okay. Yeah, because I was listening to it and I heard some bits and pieces that seemed to be like audio cues for what's going on. Because I heard there was like a guy screaming. It sounded like he just like fell off a cliff or like he got...
Right, yeah.
It sounded like a Wilhelm scream of some sort.
That's the correspondence of the story, yeah.
Okay, okay.
Similar, there's a song where you'll hear like a banging sound that also corresponds to a scene.
That's so cool. Yeah.
So, I mean, it was a lot of fun doing that because, like, just to give a little spoiler away, there's a scene where this guy is basically, like, he's, like, banging on these pipes in the basement of the ship. And, like, when I recorded that, I actually, like, went into my basement, like, banged on the water pipes with, like, a wrench and recorded
it. Oh, nice.
And then just kind of took it back into the computer and just edited it and made it sound a lot of reverb and echo to it, make it sound like it was in, like, some, you know, storeroom basement or whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, for sure. No, that sounds good. Well, I guess, I mean, so in addition to that, with kind of in a continuation or kind of the evolution of the project, where do you have any thoughts or ideas where you're going to be taking the project next?
That's actually a really good question because that's sort of what I'm contemplating right now.
Okay.
So I've always been a fan of bands that, like, you know, progress onto the next thing. They build upon their previous records and stuff like that, you know. Like, one of my favorite bands is Ulver. You know, they've never made the same record twice.
Who's that?
Ulver?
Oh, Ulver. Yeah. That,
like, they're one of my favorite bands. They've been one of my favorite bands since like 15, 16 years ago.
They're,
you know,
amazing. And, yeah.
Yeah. I originally bought their first album, Burgtat, or however you pronounce it, you know.
When they're still black metal.
When they were black metal. And then I bought, I think the second record I bought was, I can't remember what it's called, but,
is it the one with the elk horns on it with the sun between it or
no,
whatever?
No, I was already fitting for quite a few years when that one came out. I think the second one I bought was Themes from William Blake's The Marriage of Heaven and Hell. Because I think that one came out in like the late 90s or something like that.
Oh, interesting.
I think like 99.
I don't think I've listened to that one.
Well, that one's really interesting. That was when they went from Nettine's Madrigal, the super underproduced raw black metal one, then they went to that one. And everyone was like, what the fuck? You know, right.
Yeah, like, and now, you know, yeah, and now
the police called and said, what are you doing, dude? You know, so. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, I'm a big fan of bands that do that kind of stuff. I mean, sometimes it sucks. Sometimes a band, you know, like.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes bands just go soft and wanky, you know, like, you know what I mean?
Or they turn really a corner and it's just kind of unexpected and you're just like, I don't know how I feel about this, and then you just you just kind of cherish the few albums that they really had and pretend nothing else outside of that exists. I mean, I do that. Know, yeah.
Yeah. Some bands just go with the times, like, you know, like some of my favorite music ever is the first four Sepultura records, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
And then after they did Arise in 1991, they went all groove metal, then they went new metal, and I don't know what the fuck they did after that, but it probably sucks really bad. So
Yeah,
you know. Sometimes it doesn't always work out, but some bands, like another one is like Catatonia, they've consistently kind of evolved and made good records.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that, anyway, that's kind of where I want, what I want Nocta Lucan to do. I want it to evolve. I want to add more instruments. I want to, you know, bring more guests in to do, you know, more voices, you know.
Yeah.
My girlfriend Kara, she wants to do more vocals and she plays guitar, so maybe that'll make its way in there and stuff like that, you know.
Is she in any like bands or in the scene at all? Like, does she
She was involved in a power metal band named Magma Dragon.
Wow. That's an awesome name.
Yeah. So they were like kind of like a nerdy RPG power metal band.
That's
basically.
That's awesome. Yeah. I love that stuff.
And their last EP they recorded was just totally World of Warcraft themed.
That's awesome.
And then they recorded a whole another album, but it's kind of in limbo because the band's kind of broken up, so I don't know if it's going to be released.
Oh, that's too bad.
The songs are really good, so I hope it gets released. But
yeah, that'd be nice. Well,
the band's basically done, though, so all intents and purposes. But
well,
hopefully it just gets released digitally, you know?
Yeah. Well, I was curious. So you said going forward, you know, you're going to try and morph and, you know, evolve and make the project larger and all that. So, and so going back to, you said you adding more instruments, I did notice, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, but you added some little piano bits in Bleak, which to my ear, it caught my ear, because I don't think I've heard that in your, unless it was like extremely subdued in your past records. And
In the first record, there was a little bit.
Okay.
In the song, the end, it's near part two, there was a little bit.
Okay.
And let me think. I think there may be a little bit.
Maybe.
No, there isn't any in Oblivion, I don't think.
Yeah, no, I could be totally deluded. It caught my ear, and I was curious, since it seemed to be featured in a couple different spots in Bleak, I was curious if you're going to continue expanding on that in any capacity.
It'd be interesting to add more, like, you know, like, I guess, like, melodic qualities and stuff like that, you know. So I mean, I have a lot of ideas. We have a violin sitting in the closet over here.
Oh, that, nice.
Just needs a little part for it, and I'm gonna like just kind of mess around with that. And I don't know, I mean, I probably won't be able to play it proper, but I think I'll just be able to, like, to record sounds with them, and then if I just like process them, it'll just sound cool or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Totally. And is that kind of a new, I mean, forgive me again for not understand, I don't understand the Dark Gabe and stuff that well. Is it, when you produce your soundscapes, is it mostly synthesizer and then it's with some field recordings? I mean, are you pretty heavy on field recordings, or is it, I mean, how do you usually write each soundscape?
For me, it's normally synthesizer and field recordings.
Okay.
And traditionally, that's pretty much how it's gone.
Okay.
But there's been a lot of artists in recent years that also do it with, like, guitars. It's just all, like, effects pedals. It just, you know, drone. Kind of like the band Sun, how they do some of their shit, where it's just, you know, heavy, just, you know, thunderously heavy stuff. Yeah. You know, a lot of bands do that with guitars and bass and... I think there are some musicians that have kind of, you know, experimented a little bit more. There is one project that's on the Cryo Chamber label that, why do I keep saying labor? Cryo Chamber label that, like, I think the band's called Enmarta.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The guy in that band, it's all, like, processed violin, and there's some, like, normal violin parts, so I think the whole thing is, like, all... you know, the violin riffs process into dark ambient soundscapes.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I think.
But you think going forward, like, for growing the project or kind of expanding its scope, you're going to try and implement more instruments beyond what you've already... Okay.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, a lot of what you heard so far is just synthesizers and, you know, field recordings, sometimes in the original form, sometimes heavily processed into... something that just, you know, turns into this dark droning sound.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I mean, a lot of like the odder kind of like random weird sounds you hear, that's always like a field recording that, you know, it's been heavily processed. And that's the cool thing about doing that kind of stuff is, like, sometimes like a normal sound, you slow it down and you add reverb and you add echo, and it sounds like this scary, like, I don't know, you know, whatever, you know, it's dark, scary, haunted house thing or something, you know?
sure. Yeah. Well, no,
really interesting,
You know, and I totally get that vibe every time I listen to your music. It's very, like, skin-crawly and unsettling in a lot of spots, and I'm just like, it just, like, gives me chills sometimes when you're just sitting there listening to it, so.
Yeah.
Do you have any insights or details you can give to folks with respect to, like, do you have any... with respect to building your world, you know, where are you expecting to go next? Is there, you know, with voice actors or stories to tell, or do you have certain stories in mind that you want to articulate under the Noctilucan name?
Yeah. I'm just going to try and, like, kind of, you know, write the next... you know, part of what's going to happen. You know, I think it's still going to be, you know, in this, obviously now after Oblivion, it was, you know, that was several months into the apocalypse or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now I'm probably going to, you know, and obviously Bleak, you know, took a sidestep from there, focused on a singular character and situation. I think, you know, maybe I'll go back to kind of where Oblivion was and kind of explore that whole world and what's going on there and all the horrible shit that's happening.
Sure.
You know, more of like, you know, the world changing, these, you know, mutants and stuff like that are, you know, causing havoc and, you know, so.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. And that was one thing that I did notice when the little chilling detail that Matthew gives about kind of like the wolf-like creatures, mm-hmm. or the creatures that, I mean, so, yeah, so I guess, yeah, and that's what's interesting about it, too. Like, it's post-apocalyptic, but it also seems to have kind of like a really interesting, like, little bit of a sci-fi slant on it, too, or kind of like a...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, are there any other, are there parting words you'd like to...
Well, thank you, Ryan, for the reviews, the interviews times three now.
Yeah, of course, man. No worries.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. All the kind words. You know, anyone that's worked with me, everyone's bought music or even just listened to on YouTube, you know, it's immensely appreciated, you know, because when I first started doing this, I didn't really think anyone would care. And it's,
sure.
You know, it's been quite the opposite. So it's been very humbling, I guess you could say, you know. And
yeah.
It's cool to have, you know, a hobby now where it keeps me motivated. It keeps me creative because I just have to be creative. That's just who I am. You know, it's the creative and artistic side of me. Just, I can't, no matter what I do, I have to have it in my life, you know.
Sure. Definitely.
So I'm glad it's there and I have something, you know, stable that's going to hopefully be around for many years to come, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to when the new release drops. I'm hoping that all goes amazingly well. And
yeah, I hope so too.
And it's relatively
unhinged.
Yeah.
Yeah. The label seems to do pretty well. I mean, I looked at their Bandcamp site. It seems like people always are buying the stuff there. So that's cool. So hopefully, you know, people will check it out and buy it, you know? And
yeah.
Or even if they just listen to whatever, you know, it's, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
So hopefully everyone that's been following that label will, you know, hopefully, you know, be like, oh, hey, this guy's also got several other albums, and go check them out too, I hope.
For sure. So. Yeah, definitely. Thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, no problem, man.
All right.
Absolutely.
Cool, man. Thanks.